Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null on the road. I'll be back at a microphone in two or three days. Hopefully you can hear me all right. I'm on a telephone. Today, we won't have guests because I wanted to spend more time a little later on so you can have a chance to call in on certain topics that we will be addressing, important topics. But we're going to begin our show, as always, with the latest on health and healing, talking about the omega-3 fatty acids, how they can improve your life if you have cancer, and how black tea can lower your blood pressure, and how amino acids may improve arterial health and blood pressure, and how just one herb has a triple action against skin cancer and photoaging, meaning helping your skin, and the effects of a Greek herbal tea on thyroid cancer, and a new supplement allows those who suffer from celiac disease to digest gluten, and much more on health and healing. Plus today, we're going to take a look on several environmental issues, including the Cascadia Fault. It's overlooked, and we're unprepared. Julia Trout of Environmental Protection. Scientists identify a triple threat endangering U.S. coastal cities. Deidre Fulton from Common Dreams. How trees calm us down. Alex Hutchinson from New Yorker. Then Big Pharma's profiteers. And I'm going to tell you how much we're paying for meds, and yet in other countries they can get them for very little. Why? Also, new Alzheimer treatment fully restores memory function. This is important. And also today, the global derivatives. It's something no one is discussing. The New York Times, Washington Post, none of the networks. But we should. Well, Stephen Ledman, one of the great minds in America, on an article entitled The 1.5 Quadrillion Time Bomb. That's $1,500 trillion. Wow. And yet, no one is discussing this. We will. We'll take a look at it. Also, we have a lot of people listening from Greece, a lot of activists, educators, people who are concerned. And they say that they get a lot of their best information and most accurate information from this program because I like to deal with issues from around the world since we're heard worldwide. So I'll give you something to think about today about how you should not back your prime minister and you should have backed your finance minister. Why? Because as of today, your prime minister not only selling you out, but he's approved home evictions and expropriation of your deposit money, the Crete style, in your banks. So bad to the bone, and yet the people are being lied to. So what can the people of Greece do? I'll give you another strategy. Also, the problems with Israel and Palestine. All reasonable people want to see them be able to coexist and live in peace and respect each other's culture, history, and the ability to at least accept both having a right to live in their own promised lands. Chris Hedges shares some thoughts from why I support the BDS movement and from Truthdig. Let's begin. We have a lot to share. Plus, I've got the new nullification law goes into effect in Oregon when people say no to the federal government and enough states pass laws backing those people up. Well, what happens? We'll find out. And also, the government sells sacred Indian land to foreign mining companies. Who is behind this? John McCain. How do they justify selling sacred land, burial land? Well, I'll tell you. In fact, I won't tell you. I'll let Lee Camp tell you. If you've never heard Lee, he's a hoot. So So let's begin. We have a lot to share. The omega-3 fatty acids, well, when you have some walnuts, you're getting them. When you're eating flaxseed or flaxseed oil, the best form, you're getting it there. Avocados, yes, and fish like salmon, yes, you're getting it there too. According to the University Hospitals of Leicester in the United Kingdom, a major study published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Parenteral and Nutrition showed that you can help people improve the quality of life who have cancer. Quote, adding omega-3 fatty acids to anti-tumor medications may improve treatment response and quality of life for cancer patients, according to the University Hospital study. Patients were given 1,000 milligrams of the omega-3 fatty acids weekly, followed by up to 100 grams of omega-3-rich lipid emulsions for 3 weeks following by rest. This was continued for up to 6 cycles. Progression and everything else was shown. The study found evidence of activity and response on disease stabilization rates, reduction in liver metastasis volume, and improved quality of life scores in this group of patients. All right. Peer-reviewed journal, major hospitals, multiple hospitals in the study. Okay. But here's what they're not telling you, and it's in clear sight. And that's why we have to review what we're told carefully. It's a good study, but what did they not tell you? Well, they told you that there was a regression in liver cancer, but they didn't tell you to start taking it to prevent cancer, because any natural ingredient that will help in the treatment of a disease is also powerful as a preventative of that disease. That cannot be said for any medication. For example, if I take vitamin E and vitamin C and garlic and onions and green vegetables, I'm naturally thinning my blood. I'm also oxygenating my tissue, which allows the red blood cells not to aggregate or clump together, hence lessening the risk of a stroke. There are thousands of studies supporting that. Now, on the other hand, if I had a stroke or had a heart attack, 99% of people will be prescribed some form of blood-thinning medication. The trouble is the blood-thinning medication has severe side effects, including death. So, and a lot of them can cause bleeding. So I could take what would help a person if they have a stroke, like vitamin E, and that would help prevent a stroke. But you can't take warfarin or Coumadin to prevent a stroke. If you did, you're going to end up with a lot of serious side effects. I can take cruciferous vegetables and eat them, juice them, drink them, like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, broccoli sprouts, because they have isothiocyanates as well as indole-3 carbinols, among other anti-cancer tumor-blocking properties. But could you imagine? The logic is flawless of orthodox medicine. It is absolutely perfection. They're suggesting that you should start taking statins to prevent problems with cholesterol, yet statin side effects can kill you. Whereas if you knew how to help your cholesterol, you could do it with dietary and exercise alone. Whereas if you took chemotherapy to prevent cancer, you would die from cancer caused by the chemotherapy. So if you're getting my drift, and they're telling you to take antidepressants who cause depression and suicidal ideation and suicidal and homicidal acts. By the way, every single one of the shooters, every single one has been on psychiatric medications, and yet they keep blaming it on the guns. Let me tell you something. Take an honest look at why these people use the guns to kill people, when until they were on the psychs, they didn't manifest this. Once you're on psychiatric drugs and you start hallucinating and your brain starts seeing through paranoia enemies everywhere, and you no longer have a reasonable response but a highly reactionary response to hurt other people and then hurt yourself, because a lot of these people kill others and then kill themselves, they never had that before they were on the meds. In fact, when we filmed all of the different people who were involved in Columbine, family members, survivors, they all said the same thing. It wasn't the guns. These kids were normal. Eric Harris and them were normal until they started increasing their psychiatric medication. Why wasn't that ever discussed? Well, we filmed it. It was in the Drug of Our Children. But unfortunately, outside of being very popular on Google for a while, it didn't cause any transformative awareness in the major public. And so now they want to confiscate guns. And well, if you look at everyone's getting killed, yeah, well, what if we took away the guns? Do you think that a homicidal person is going to stop if they don't get a gun? They'll use a knife or they use a brick or a hammer. You're going to then ban hammers and bricks and knives? There's just such a lack of honest intellectual dialogue. It's all emoting based upon ideologies instead of reason. The same is true in medicine. So right now there's a big movement on to have your breasts removed even if you have no cancer, like Angelina Jolie. No cancer whatsoever, but you could get cancer based upon a gene, even though that gene's never been proven to be a gold standard, and hence tens of thousands of people get their ovaries removed, hysterectomies, breasts removed. And yet what will prevent breast cancer, and we show it can be prevented breast cancer, and what helps if you have breast cancer, natural non-toxic means, they're not advocated because they can't be commodified and commercialized. So the takeaway message is this. Here's this study in the United Kingdom that showed when a orthodox medicine was combined with a natural omega-3 fatty acid, there was improvement. Longer lives, less aggressive cancer, especially pancreatic cancer, and yet they don't give it that credit. They don't stop and say, what would happen if we just gave these patients the omega-3 fatty acids and gave another group of patients just the medication, because they already have the medication results, so they know what the results would be, and see, was it the omega-3 with the medication or was it the omega-3 by itself? And if you're not killing the cancer, killing healthy cells with chemotherapy, what would happen if you just gave that which heals? So you see, that's the study that will never be done. Because what if it was shown that vitamin C or omega-3 fatty acids or anything in combination actually work better than chemotherapy? Then you would be challenging a $300 billion a year industry. The most expensive medical treatment in America today is cancer. The least beneficial treatment is cancer. The most deaths from a treatment, cancer. The most morgues with toe tag patients who obeyed their doctor, believe their doctor, cancer. The most money made by any profession as a whole group, oncology. The most money made by any pharmaceutical group, pharmaceuticals making chemotherapy. And yet, somehow, no one seems to be able to put these pieces together in a reasonable way. But that study at least gave us some indicators. Now, next up, we have black tea. English drink black tea, but Americans don't. But if we drank black tea, or green tea, or white tea, or oolong tea, we would benefit, and this study shows that it will lower your blood pressure. We have an epidemic of high blood pressure, and here's what this study shows. It says, quote, black tea reduces blood pressure and enhances arterial function. Wow, that's a double positive. Because anything that will enhance arterial function, meaning making your arteries more pliable, opened up so the blood flows through better, and is going to nourish more cells. And that is important. And this is a, quote, the leaves of the Camellia sinensis plant are fermented to create black tea. In the process, a unique combination of flavonoids is produced, which is different from what is found in green tea. And then it goes on to talk about, in this study, they examined the effects of drinking tea on blood pressure in a group of adults with hypertension, and they did it for 2 weeks. So it was a very good study, and they had positive effects. So if you have high blood pressure, black tea. Now, the University of East Anglia and also King's College in London, they joined together to do a study published in the Peer Review Journal of Nutrition. And it showed that amino acids can improve arterial health and blood study. Quote, increased intake of select amino acids may improve blood pressure and measures of arterial health in women. Higher intakes of arginine, cysteine, glutamic acid, glycine, histidine, leucine, tyrosine were associated with significant improvements in measures of peripheral and central blood pressure. Quote, this novel data suggests that intake of selected amino acids is associated with arterial stiffness, that's a bad thing, and central blood pressure, that's a bad thing when it's elevated, with significant associations observed for pulse wave velocity and central systolic blood pressure, similar in magnitude to established lifestyle risk factors for hypertension, such as physical activity, not smoking, and reduced intake of sodium and alcohol, end quote. Well, it meant, in lay language, that if you took a plant-based diet and you had a plant-based protein to supplement it, let's say you had hemp powder, rice powder, non-genetically engineered soy powder, split pea powder, any of these powders contain all of the amino acids I just mentioned. So, if you also took a meal where you combined rice or grains and beans or legumes, you would get also very high levels of these amino acids. So, that's good news. So, as long as you're eating a healthy vegan diet, you are, according to this study from two universities, you're lowering your blood pressure, improving your arterial health, and hence saving a life. And finally, one herb with triple action against skin cancer and phytoaging. And this is the University of Colorado Cancer Center. And here's what they have to say. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Molecular Carcinogenesis. It says, quote, needs something besides toxic sunscreen to protect against skin cancer? How about an herb? Milk thistle. T-H-I-S-T-L-E. Milk thistle is already known for its ability to heal liver toxicity itself. But evidently it has several important effects on your skin too. Milk thistle protects against photoaging or ultraviolet damage and effectively blocks both ultraviolet and A and ultraviolet B induce skin carcinogens. Studies at the University of Colorado Cancer Center found that the extract of the milk thistle plant was exceptional at preventing skin cancer and photoaging. Well, that's terrific, because we're all exposed to ultraviolet radiation, and I know that vitamin C and quercetin really help protect your skin, and using coconut oil also helps. But this is a new ingredient that we can add. It's non-toxic and makes a big difference. Well, I also mentioned earlier that there's a Greek herb in teas that can help on thyroid cancer. This is in the University of Athens, published in the European Journal of Public Health, and it says, quote, conclusions. Our findings suggest that for the first time that drinking herbal teas, especially chamomile, protects from thyroid cancer as well as other benign thyroid diseases. Well, that's good news, because chamomile tea is also a relaxant. It's nice just to have some cold chamomile iced tea. Take a little stevia, take some fresh leaves of mint. And by the way, the best way of using mint is you'll get 4 or 5 sprigs fresh, wash them, and then simply roll them in your hand. Put your two hands together and just roll the teas, and instantly you'll smell this wonderful minty flavor because you've broken open the cells and the oils are coming out. And then if you want to make it a little different, you can take lemongrass, same way, wash the lemongrass, put it between your two hands and rub your hands, and the oils of lemongrass, which have a wonderful lemony flavor and smell, come forward. And then you put it into your iced tea and let it steep. You can put 2 or 3 drops of stevia in. And then you got yourself a pitcher of iced chamomile tea. and that can help protect your thyroid from cancer, according to the University of Athens, this peer-reviewed journal. Now, before we take our break, just want to share something, because we have a lot of people listening for the first time, and they have been told by someone else, hey, you know, great place to get all these different articles every day and videos and from around the world and calls to action. But here is the criteria that I use. Anyone listening to this program over the years knows that I do three things all the time with every show. I cite the scientific evidence from peer-reviewed literature. I cite the study's origination, university, hospital, an established, acceptable institution. And I also show that it was properly done studies, more often than not, double-blind or placebo-controlled. Now, why? Why is that important? Because one of the ways they've tried to diminish the significance of people like myself in the field is saying, oh, that's all anecdotal, there's no science, they're not supported by good science. And so that's simply their propaganda, more often than not, in protection of special interest groups, to prevent good information from reaching you. After all, if you believe any of the things I'm suggesting and you begin to make changes in your lifestyle, sooner or later you're going to be not eating their foods, drinking their beverages, taking their medications. You're going to have a shift in consciousness, awareness, education, and which case that can make an economic difference, not if a few people, but what if about a few million people, and I'm reaching a lot of people. And all you have to do is go up and look at Google Analytics, and you'll see that. So we are a program of record, and hence we take a great deal of time with scholars and residents reviewing everything. And by the way, every program that goes on PBS stations is vetted. You can't just get on there. Books, articles, special reports, all vetted for accuracy. People can agree or disagree, but they're not going to find there's error. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome you from all over the world and across stations up in Woodstock, down in West Virginia, down in Florida, all over the place. People are listening in, and we appreciate it, and thank you very much. In the next segments of our program coming up, we're going to hear from Lee Camp, himself a character, but he, like some of the other people, John Oliver, and they use satire to emphasize important public issues. And we're going to hear from him in about 5 minutes, talking about how Native American lands, sacred lands, were taken, how John McCain and other politicians behind it. But then you got to listen to the very end to hear where these people worked before they became legislators, to see why it's so significant. Also, they are implanting chips that can monitor you. The BBC is going to tell us about that in a short clip. And for those of you who give to Goodwill Industries, fine. But America's favorite Christian, Betty Bowers, has a few thoughts on goodwill to few men. And we have then, we'll be opening up for some calls after two commentaries. We have a lot on the environment to go. But right now, we're just going to take a moment for our sister station in New York, WBAI. We will add on 5 minutes to the end of the program for all the other stations, so you'll get your full 55 minutes. But BAI is in trouble. It's in trouble because of all the reasons anyone who listens to stations know. They don't, you know, they're bad. Just there's a lot of issues that go way back years, not just currently. So what I try to do and what those who are responsible for helping the station, volunteers, management, we work with the listeners to try to get you something that can benefit you, that is in alignment with the higher principles of the station, and that can get the station's bills paid. Now, what I'm doing now, and I won't continue to do this, but at least for now, I really have no choice, because if we don't pay these bills, then you lose. It's a catch-22. The other night, a group of listeners, a really nice group of listeners, I might mention it, and I really thought this woman who was 85 or 86 who came, she was so vibrant, so upbeat, so positive, wise. And it's always wonderful to see people in the audience who come to these events. And we had dinner together. We went to a movie together. We spent a whole evening from 6 to 11 o'clock walking clear down to the Lincoln Center from the Upper West Side, walking back up at the end at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock to have dessert, all to raise some money for the station. And here's how it works. The station gives me its bills. And last week it was $6,000, then $1,000, then $1,600, and I pay those bills. Now, why do I do that? Because every single person who came said they had not received their premiums. One woman said she hadn't received four premiums in 2 years. And I explained it's not that the station doesn't want to get your premiums. They do. They just don't have the cash. No, they just don't. And they're not going to, because there's too few listeners, too little support, and too many bills. Even though they work with a very small staff, and thank goodness for their voluntary staff. So what I do is I try to do pledging where the premium is a gift of some kind, so you don't have to wait on the station. You get it. And so what we did in April, and we were able to pay for over 1,000 premiums because of it. Mind you, the station didn't pay. They didn't pay a nickel. They didn't raise a finger. They didn't even know how to say thank you. I think somehow when they were born, that is genetically erased from brain appreciation. But we accept that. That's part of what you get when you work for a BAI. But the audience appreciated it. The people got their premiums appreciated it. So we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again for the second and third week of August. We're going to have a wonderful, I mean phenomenal, retreat together down in the mountains down south, not in New York, in the south. Do as little or as much as you want. You can be assured that you're going to get a lot of very professional people who are very positive helping you, whether it's meditation, yoga, artist healing, cooking classes, juicing classes, doing your wheatgrass, ginger, and lemon juice shots throughout the day, whether it's having gourmet Mediterranean meals, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, whether it's watching how sprouts are grown or taking a class on microgreens or homesteading, being counseled each day, or lectures, going into our butterfly house, a beautiful, I haven't seen another one in the United States, but this place has a beautiful 18th century French gazebo, used to be called French Orangery, and it's got butterflies in it. They live on the plants in there, the dogwood plants and other plants that butterflies like, and monarchs. And you talk about really chilling you out, letting you have that big healthy exhale. Just have a monarch butterfly, a bunch of them land on your shoulder and your head and your arms and your hand, and they don't fly away, and it just puts you in a different state of mind. And of course, there's lectures. And so you can do as little or as much as you want. It's only $2,500, and that's really a bargain if you can afford that for people who want a week or two that could really change their lives. So I'll be there. In fact, I'm on my way there. And Luann Panessi's already there. We have a crew of at least 14 people there doing everything to make your stay as positive and as wonderful as possible. In fact, they were out. One of the people who is volunteering flew in yesterday from Boulder, Colorado. From Arizona. This person is a great artist. And what is she doing today? She's out getting floral arrangements for the different tables, and just little things, the touches that show really classy people doing good things. Luann Panessi, how are you?
Hello, Gary. Oh, my God. I'm in paradise. Oh, when I arrived yesterday, oh, my God, the property. You know, I haven't seen formal gardens like this since I was in Europe. The flowers are just, it's so green and lush and beautiful. And the lake, we have beautiful swans on the lake, and you could just sit there for hours and watch them. It's bucolic. It's beautiful. And we're here. We're getting everything ready. The place looks wonderful. There are fruit trees. We have a beautiful pool. And, oh, my God, you're talking about refreshing. It's hot down here. All of our buildings are air-conditioned, so it's luxurious to just go out to the pool and relax. And we have a cabana with towels for everyone. It's just a beautiful place. For people that just need to get away, it's a phenomenal place to be, to relax, and to reconnect. I just spoke to our yoga instructor, and they're all set up to do some very dynamic yoga classes for us. We have people teaching meditation and emotional release work. There's just no better place, in my opinion, Gary, for people to come with like-minded people. Everyone who comes is interviewed, so there's no negative, complaining, angry people. These are all happy, upbeat people that are looking to find a beautiful haven to go to and relax and reconnect with who they are and learn about sustainability and becoming strong and resilient on every level and just the most
bucolic environment. And also, you know, this time around, they're offering Dead Sea Soul scrubs and body wraps with volcanic mud. Plus, people can do the aromatherapy marble bath soaks. Plus, we've got the swimming pool with the mineral waters from one of the deepest, most pure mineral waters in the world, right below the property, right there at the retreat. So it's a unique experience. It's the only one we're doing this year. I can't do this all the time because it takes so much of my time, and I have to be there every day. And Luann's there. We have a whole staff that comes from different parts of America there. So if you want to join us as a fundraiser for this station, and we pay the bills, station doesn't invest a penny, they don't have to do anything, we do it. And you have a great experience. Do as little or as much you want. Give them your number to call if they want to join us the second or third week. There's no room in the first week. Second or third week of August.
Okay, Gary, I have 2 slots for the second week and 3 slots for the third week. That's all I've got available. But if you're interested, I want you to call me at 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. Just leave your name, your number, say I'm interested in the retreat, and I'll get back to everyone within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Thank you. And remember...
Okay.
Yeah, this you get your premium because you're there enjoying yourself and your time. And by the way, the other night we had 20 people spend $100 each, and so 20 people enjoy themselves, where other people charge you $2,000 for a cup of coffee and a Big Mac. I don't know what they're eating, but many more people enjoyed themselves for $100, and I'll do it again because it was fun. Great people enjoyed doing it, and the station made themselves some money and will pay some bills with it. Let's now hear from Lee Camp, a very important topic, though he handles it in his own inimitable way, about stealing sacred burial Native American grounds and how they do it.
Start off the second half with Native American news. We white people have run into the problem that we're almost out of things to steal from them. But Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake recently stood up to the challenge. You see, the Apache Indians have a very sacred land in Oak Flat, Arizona. Our government recently gave it to the Resolution Mining Company, which is owned by the foreign company Rio Tinto. You see, our lawmakers have basically basically two ways of stealing land from people. One is to go, oh my God, the people on that land have weapons of mass destruction. We have to invade or else they'll kill us all. Everybody duck and cover, tuck your dick between your legs and run, run. That worked in Iraq. But they couldn't do that with Oak Flat, Arizona, because they would look crazy going, oh my God, they've got a bow and arrow of mass destruction. It's the size of the Empire State Building, and they spent the last month pulling back the arrow. So instead, John McCain and Jeff Flake snuck this land theft into the National Defense Authorization Act. And even the mining company itself admits the operation will turn Oak Flat into a meteor crater. Here's Senator Flake defending this insanity.
This was a bill sponsored by my colleague John McCain, and I was happy to join him to advance the measure. It also shares bipartisan support in the House.
Hold on. Am I supposed to be impressed with bipartisan support? I don't care if you and the other corporate snotbags agree with each other. But when you guys agree, that means we're really it's like being excited that Freddy Krueger and Chucky got together in a bipartisan agreement to dismember you.
It would preserve more than 5,300 acres of conservation lands.
Yeah, it's not preserving the sacred land, of course. That's screwed. But that empty field behind the big lots where the crack addicts sleep, we're keeping that real nice.
It will provide protections for Native Americans to continue traditional gatherings and ceremonies after the land exchange has been completed, so long as it remains safe to do so.
Remains safe to do so. Yeah, you know all those open pit mining operations where it's safe to hold sacred ceremonies? Don't worry, Apache. Once we cut out a 2-mile crater, you can dance your pants off.
I was encouraged to learn that the company has entered into a contract with the Gila River Indian community to use a portion of the tribe's water supplies to meet the long-term needs of the mine.
Hey, we're destroying your sacred grounds, but good news, we're going to use your water to do it. We're motherfucking Teresa.
This is further evidence of how the measure, even before it's passed, can help foster economic opportunities for Indian and non-Indian communities.
Have you ever heard of societal force, you condescending ass clown? Just because people are so desperate, they're willing to sell you the water used to decimate their heritage, that doesn't make it a scene from Happy Days. You put people in dire straits and they'll do anything. Hey, this starving kid will work for $2 a day. I'm such a good person. I gave him a job chopping up diseased zombie carcasses down by the docks. But of course, it doesn't matter as long as you create jobs.
There are 500 people currently employed by resolution on the mine. Albo Guzman, he's a local Superior trading contractor. He has several local employees working for him on this project. As a person, not a robot. Jeb Domlin.
Yeah, you know you've created a hell of a lot of jobs when you have time to name the workers individually. Sure, we're planning the destruction of the Apache Nation, but it'll give a job to Carl. He's right there. Yeah, he's a half an idiot, but he needs the job. But here's the kicker. Contributions to McCain from the mining industry doubled leading up to this theft. Contributions to Jeff Flake went from $2,500 in 2010 to $183,000 in 2014. And Mr. Flake, before he made it to Congress, was a paid lobbyist for, drumroll please, Rio Tinto. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the definition of corruption. But it's not too late. It's not too late. Hundreds of Apache and their supporters are camping out at Oak Flat to protest Rio Tinto digging a giant butthole into their sacred territory. Call your representative and tell them to support overturning this. But then again, what's the worst that could happen if we give away holy native land to guys with pickaxes? Oh, right. We have experience carving holes into sacred land. Sorry, fellas, you guys did some good stuff too, but you know what you did.
All right, and that's Lee Camp. And he was joking, but it's a very serious issue. I believe that we should be informed about how many times Native Americans' sacred land is confiscated and then exploited by companies or politically connected through lobbyists and legislators to do manufacturing, polluting their lands and not compensating, and then assuming that the media won't cover it. So let's do what we can to let them know Native American land should not be touched under any reason for anything by anyone except the Native Americans. Now to our environmental segment. This is from Julia Trout. This is from Environmental Protection, and it's about the Cascadia Fault. And she said it's overlooked and underprepared. Why? In late 2004, an undersea megathrust earthquake occurred off the west coast of Indonesia when the Indian Plate was subducted by the Burma Plate, triggering a series of devastating tsunamis along most landmasses bordering the Indian Ocean. The earthquake and subsequent tsunami killed 233,000 people in 14 countries, plowing through coastal communities with waves 100 feet high, with a magnitude 9.1 to 9.3. It was the third largest earthquake ever recorded. Now, in 2011, another undersea megathrust earthquake occurred off the coast of Japan, producing powerful tsunami waves that reached 130 feet. With a magnitude 9.0, the earthquake and tsunami that followed caused 15,891 confirmed deaths, 6,000 injuries, and left 2,500 people missing. It was the most powerful earthquake to ever hit Japan and the fourth largest earthquake ever recorded. So when North Americans talk about the big one, they're often referring to the earthquake and subsequent destruction that is assumed to be eventually taking place along the San Andreas Fault. But such, just north of California's most famous fault line, is the lesser known and far more insidious Cascadia subduction zone, running 750 miles from Vancouver to Northern California. As Catherine Schultz reported for The New Yorker earlier this week, this somewhat mysterious fault is nearly three-quarters of a century overdue for a massive earthquake. It will be upwards of 9.2 magnitude. Wow, that would make it the largest one outside of the one of 2004 ever recorded. In 2013, the Seattle Times science reporter Sandy Dalton released Full Rip 9.0, a book highlighting the, quote, scientists who are dedicated to understanding the way the Earth moves and what patterns can be identified and how prepared people are, or in the case of Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver, how vulnerable our Pacific Northwest actually is. Almost 300 people died in Hurricane Sandy. Nearly 2,000 were killed in Hurricane Katrina. Over 3,000 lives lost in San Francisco's Great Earthquake in 1906. As Schultz reported in The New Yorker this week, quote, FEMA projects that nearly 13,000 people will die in the Cascadia earthquake and tsunami. Another 27,000 will be injured, and the agency expects it will need to provide shelter for 1 million displaced people and food and water for another 2.5 million, end quote. Well, the most alarming question to come from all this data is not if, but when, as geologists can now guarantee that this catastrophe of colossal proportions is on its way. By the time the aftershocks have stopped and the water has receded, quote, the region will be unrecognizable. Kenneth Murphy, who directs FEMA, a Region X, the division responsible for Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Alaska, says, quote, our operating assumption is that everything west of Interstate 5 will be toast. In the Pacific Northwest, everything west of Interstate 5 includes all of Seattle, Tacoma, Portland, Eugene, Salem, Olympia, and over 7 million people. So when the earthquake and tsunami occurs, and it is and will, that region will be suffering the worst natural disaster in the history of North America. Survivors will be few, and the landscape of the United States will be changed forever. So what do you think is going to happen? And this is my question to the audience, and I'll open our call lines up now on this one. So what is the likely outcome? How will this impact if we have 7 million people either affected, dislocated, or killed because of this? Whole cities wiped out. And we're talking about something that could also continue on down and impact the San Andreas Fault. And that would impact over 40 million people. Could you imagine what would happen if you couldn't get people supplies? We couldn't even supply 100,000 people after Katrina for months. And think of the people we couldn't supply after Hurricane Sandy, a Category 1. Now imagine the big one. 7 million will be affected. Most of them, seriously so. And we're doing what about it? How about nothing? Zero. Not a thing. Nothing. What does that tell you? Your time to give us your insight. Talk back. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And when you call, please remember, do not listen over the telephone. Because when I say hello to you, you'll be listening over the, listen over the telephone, not over the radio, so we can go right to your insights. Now, this is a separate environmental segment from Deidre Fulton from Common Dreams. A trio of phenomena attributed to at least in part climate change, sea level rise, storm surges, and heavy rainfall poses an increasing risk to residents of major cities, including Boston, New York, Houston, San Diego, and San Francisco, according to a new research published in the journal Nature Climate Change. Quote, call it a triple threat. Steve Myers, a scientist at the University of South Florida, and one of the paper's authors told The Guardian. And so they're saying it's called compounded flooding, meaning you don't just get a bad rain or a storm, you get major surges. The sea level rises, and the rainfall soaks everything and floods everything. So very serious, and it's not a theoretical, it's an actual, it's going to happen. So what are we doing in all those coastal cities? How about nothing? Zero. Oh, Miami keeps bringing in from other countries barges of sand every day to make sure its beaches look nice. And that's it. And some drain valves, so when the water rises, some of the turbines and can take some of the water out. We're talking about that system being overwhelmed. Now, some good news on the environment. This is from Alex Hutchinson from The New Yorker. Quote, how trees calm us down. In 1984, a researcher named Robert Ulrich, who I, by the way, remember interviewing on this, noticed a curious pattern among patients who were recovering from gallbladder surgery at a suburban hospital in Pennsylvania. Those who had been given rooms overlooking a small stand of deciduous trees were being discharged almost a day sooner on average than those in otherwise identical rooms whose windows faced a wall. The result seemed at once obvious. Of course, a leafy view is more therapeutic than a dark brick wall. And puzzling, whatever curative properties the trees possessed, how were they casting it through a pane of glass? That is the riddle that underlies a new study in the journal Scientific Reports by a team of researchers in the United States, Canada, and Australia, led by the University of Chicago psychologist professor Mark Berman. The study compares two large data sets from the city of Toronto, both gathered on a block-by-block level. The first measures the distribution of green space, and then those that don't have the green space. And what they found is the more you're associated with green space, the greater the capacity of the body to heal. And one of the reasons it heals in lay language is that it calms us down. Just being able to sit and look up at trees and birds and listen to them I'm not talking about in a hospital room now. I'm talking about outside. And, you know, when you travel to Europe, to Ireland, to Scotland, to England, to France, to Italy, it's very common in rehabilitation for people to go into the country to not a spa, but a healing clinic where they're outdoors a lot recovering because they know that the more a person is exposed to nature, the more calm they are, the less stressed they are, the quicker they heal, the more complete they heal. So just something good that we should know. And also, before I take your calls, here is new good information from Health Freedom Alliance on a new Alzheimer treatment fully restores memory function. Quote, Australian researchers have come up with a non-invasive ultrasound technology that clears the brain of neurotoxic amyloid plaques, structures that are responsible for memory loss and a decline in cognitive function in Alzheimer's patients. If a person has Alzheimer's disease, it usually is a result of a buildup of two types of lesions, amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles. Amyloid plaques sit between the neurons and end up as dense clusters of beta amyloid molecules, a sticky type of protein that clumps together and forms plaques. The tangles are found inside the neurons of the brain, and they're caused by defective tau proteins that clump up into a thick, insoluble mass. This causes tiny filaments called microtubules to get all twisted, which disrupts the transportation of essential materials such as nutrients and ganglioles along them. And so now they did this therapy published in Science Translational Medicine. Team describes techniques as using a particular type of ultrasound called a focused therapeutic ultrasound. Again, the focused therapeutic ultrasound, focused therapeutic ultrasound, which non-invasively beams sound waves into the brain tissue. By oscillating superfast, these sound waves are able to gently open up the blood-brain barrier, which is a layer that protects the brain against bacteria and viruses and stimulates the brain's microglial cells to activate the microglial cells and waste removal. So they're able to clear out toxic beta amyloid clumps that are responsible for the worst symptoms of Alzheimer's. The team reports fully restoring the memory function of 75% of the mice they tested on with zero damage to the surrounding brain tissue. They found that the treated mice displayed improved performance in three memory tasks, a maze, a test to get them to recognize new objects, and one to get them to remember the places they should avoid. So, that's good news. Now, take that into account, along with all the other holistic protocols that could be used, and I think we're about to take a major step forward, at least for those who use and honor the non-toxic and natural approaches. Let's say hello to Harvey from Berkeley, California. Hi, Harvey. Your turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for the show. It's great once again. Well, here in California, the Cascadia subduction zone could cause a nuclear meltdown at the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. And here's how: the Cascadia subduction zone intersects with the San Andreas Fault off Cape Mendocino, and the east-west trending Diablo Cove Fault runs directly under the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant's Unit Number 1 reactor and turbine building. It projects offshore and intersects with the seismically active shoreline fault located less than a mile from the nuclear plant. And the shoreline fault is connected to the Hawes-Gary Fault, which is less than 2.5 miles offshore, and the Hawes-Gary Fault is a right lateral strand of the San Andreas Fault. They're all connected, Gary. They're all connected. So a 0.9 megathrust, the subduction zones are the largest earthquakes in the world. So a 9-point megathrust earthquake could trigger the San Andreas Fault, which will trigger the Hawes-Gary Fault, which will trigger the shoreline fault, which will trigger the Diablo Cove Fault, which is directly under the Diablo Cove nuclear power plant. Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. So there it is. It's all connected. And I say we close Diablo now while we have the chance, because the last thing we need is a Fukushima-like nuclear disaster here in California triggered by the Cascadia subduction zone. Thank you, Gary.
Well, that's what I referred to earlier when I was saying that the one Cascadia could trigger the San Andreas.
Absolutely.
Because there's an overlapping, and there is no mathematical model of probability, but it's a possibility. And once one happens, we already know what happened at Fukushima. So do we want another Fukushima at Diablo Canyon? And Diablo Canyon, within 2 hours, would completely contaminate the entire Los Angeles area.
It's a scary thing, Gary. So I say close Diablo down now while we have the chance.
Here's what I would suggest, Harvey. You have seen Knocking on the Devil's Door, Our Deadly Nuclear Legacy, correct?
I haven't seen it, Gary, no. I'm sorry.
Okay, this is a multi-award-winning documentary I did on nuclear power. I even showed Diablo Canyon in there, plus Indian Point, and why we should be closing all 100 remaining open nuclear facilities in the United States, and how those who promote it are doing so because they have a financial interest, not because they're concerned about environmental or human health or costs. Because nuclear is not green, it's not cheap, it's deadly. So anyhow, why don't you get that and try to get that on your local television stations. And also there are articles that Richard Gell and I wrote on the dangers of nuclear power and how to close down nuclear facilities. Harvey Wasserman, Carl Grossman, who've helped close down 4 nuclear power plants in the United States, give their input as well. So that way you have some call to action support, and then you can start a campaign by showing the film and giving out literature about why it's such a dangerous plant there. In fact, in New York, Indian Point is only 28 miles north of New York City. Based upon we measured this, I said, okay, what is the average wind miles per hour for an entire year? It's about 12 miles an hour. How many people live in the greater New York area within 50 miles of New York City? It's over 20 million people. So based upon that, in 4.5 hours after nuclear accident, you've already contaminated 20 million people. With radiation, it depends upon how much radiation they're exposed to and for what period of time. But because radiation is tasteless, odorless, and you can't see it, you would have people not realizing the extent of the exposure, because it would take time for even a diligent effort to get the message out. And by the time you got the message out, where are people to go? There's no evacuation plans for Los Angeles or for New York City. You have too many people. You can't get people out. And all you have to have is someone ran out of gas or an accident, and then you have nothing but a giant parking lot. And once radiation is sustained within a given area, let's say for a week or two, that area is contaminated for life. You'll never be able to reenter that. Now imagine if New York City took a full blast, Fukushima force, of radiation exposure to New York City. That means that all of New York City, every building, car, would be contaminated forever. That would collapse the entire American economy overnight. That would mean that you would have at least 8 million people would have no place to go, and 20 million people not knowing where to go or how to get there. You would also have people, the older and younger, dying of radiation sickness, and those who have compromised immune system behind that. Now, people have and can survive nuclear radiation, depends upon the type of radiation they're exposed to, for how long and what intensity, and their overall state of health. We saw that from Nagasaki and Hiroshima, of the survivors. But we also saw how many people died. And we know even now people who've worked with radiation, including one of the great discoverers of its uses, medical uses, Madame Curie, died from radiation poisoning. So closing down nuclear power plants should be at the top of our absolute must-do list as a society. Yes, we have a lot of other projects, labeling GMOs and getting toxins out of our food and cleaning up our soil and reducing global warming. All these are completely legitimate and necessary. But all you have to have is one nuclear power plant fail for whatever reason, and you will see the biggest disaster in American history. And remember, once that disaster occurs, there's just no way they're going to be able to quickly fix it. And as we saw with Chernobyl, 1 million citizens and workers died because of Chernobyl. That's based on 5,000 scientific studies done in Slavic. And because Americans were thinking there would have to be an English version published, there weren't. When the scientist, Dr. Busby, was coordinating with other nuclear scientists, got these studies together, they found there was 1 million dead. So just imagine what it would do here. So you need to do all you can in a responsible and reasonable way to first educate people about in Diablo Canyon. I'll bet that half the people living in the area don't even know that it's there.
And you're right.
Secondly, to show them why it's not safe, why it sits, not just does it sit on the San Andreas Fault, but it's right at the water's edge. It has to be to cool its spent fuel rods, and it uses about 2 billion gallons of water a day, and that's all hot radioactive water that goes back into the ocean. And their logic is dilution is the solution to pollution. Okay, I saw this once years ago when I went down to the Jersey Shore, a long time ago. I remember seeing a warning sign on one side of a fence, that one of those little wooden fences that go down to the water, was the sign that says, dangerous, do not swim here. On the other side of that, there was no sign. People were swimming. So I remember asking some fella that was sitting there with his family, do I get this right? On the side I'm on, you can't swim, but on your side you can. Yeah. I said, did anyone tell the water molecules that they couldn't shift with the current from one side to the other? I don't know. You know, if the authorities say it's safe, it must be safe. And that's when I realized there is no cure for stupid. So do not assume that the public fully informed of a problem will do anything about it. And do not assume that the authorities want to acknowledge that there's a seriousness of the problem. And do not assume that even if they know how serious it is, that they would be able politically, dealing with industry, to close something down, and when they would have to put people through another set of hoops before they have another source of electricity to cover that area covered by the nuclear power, which is generally about 15%. So that's why you really have to educate yourself, Harvey, because you are an environmentalist and because you are up in the heart of an intellectual land and a lot of activists up in Berkeley. It's a good place to start the journey. All right, buddy?
I appreciate everything, Gary.
All the best to you, Harvey, from Berkeley, California, on the Cascadia Fault Line. It's not, is it going to happen? It's just when, and 7 million people. We have people listening right now in each of the cities I mentioned, from Vancouver to Salem and Seattle and Portland and all these other places in between. You're in the wrong place. That's not sustainable. All right? Not sustainable. And so that's it. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.